And before we begin, I also want to welcome our new committee consultant, Corinne Sugawara. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, you want to pronounce it correctly for me?
Corinne Sugawara.
Okay, there you go. Welcome. Thank you. And hopefully by the next hearing, I will pronounce it correctly. So, and so with that, Secretary, please call the roll.
Pan.
Here.
Pan, present. Morrell.
Here.
Morrell, present. Leyva.
Here.
Leyva, present. Morlock.
Present.
Morlock, present. Portantino.
Okay, well, we have a quorum. So why don't we go ahead and begin, and I think sign in order. So I do believe Assemblymember Rodriguez, yes, is here. Welcome. And so that's going to be item number 6, AB 1487. Go ahead and begin.
More time and place more demands on the employee. However, the employee is working out of class much longer than temporary and not receiving the appropriate compensation for that work when they are performing them far longer than temporary. By establishing a 960-hour limit, 6 months on this activity, this bill will help create certainty in the workplace for employer and employees. A measure of enforcement, AB 1487, includes penalties to be paid by the employer to CalPERS for failure to comply with the limits. With me here today is Christy Beaumont from the California Professional Firefighters, sponsors of the bill. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Witness support.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Christy Beaumont on behalf of the California Professional Firefighters, pleased to be sponsors of this measure. My author presented the issue very well. I would just say that it's a balanced approach. It leaves employers the flexibility to temporarily fill positions when they're seeking to recruit or hire on a merit-based process or replacement, but at the same time does not unfairly take advantage of employees who have volunteered, quote-unquote, maybe to serve in that upgraded position and take on those additional duties. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. We're pleased to be in support.
Thank you. Any other witness in support? Seeing none, any witness support? Thank you. Seeing no other witness support, any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none, questions from committee members? Senator Leyva?
I just want to thank the author for bringing this bill forward. This happens all the time. So this is very helpful, and I'm very excited to support the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Morlock.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I used to be a department head, had fun when we had vacancies. So I have a few questions, if I could. If I don't have someone that's able to be the temporary person to fill the position, do I leave it vacant then?
This bill doesn't prohibit you from filling that, and that challenge would be presented to you whether this bill was law or not. You have got to find someone that you ask to serve in that position.
So then why would you mandate a department that if they haven't found someone within 960 hours that they have to pay three times the employer and employer contributions to CalPERS? I am not getting the correlation.
Well, I think that, you know, if they would have pursued a merit-based hiring process and hired someone into that position, that worker, that employee would be paying their own contributions and the employer would be paying contributions into the system. So I think that this is a manner of enforcement to suggest that you should do what, you know, is expected anyway when they have a vacancy, which is to find a qualified applicant and replace that employee in that position.
So let's say circumstances just don't work out. You don't find someone. What what are we gaining by paying three times? Because the employee would only get one time, and then the other two times, the other two-thirds, is that what is?
The employee doesn't do anything except return to their regular duties. So the employer's penalties would go into the employer's account. So I guess on some of your other expressed priorities in this committee, it'll just go towards paying down their unfunded liability. It is not, you know, it's a penalty to enforce the provisions of the bill at the same time. It, you know, helps them do something about any unfunded liabilities that may remain in that employer account.
So that's not really a bad penalty then?
Guess not. In your opinion.
Yeah. Thanks for going to Disneyland this weekend.
It's my pleasure, sir.
Thanks for bringing me there today.
I'm happy to still be awake after my grandkids wore me out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Seeing other questions, I did have a brief question. And I appreciate what you're trying to do with the bill and ensuring that the employees who do step up and fill these interim positions that they're not taking advantage of, essentially. So they're not in a situation where basically they're on one level doing a job that they've been asked to do that's above, but yet not actually being granted that job, and therefore not being fully compensated in the way that they should be if they, in doing that work. My question is that in circumstances, this I think applies more to high level positions. So, you know, probably people who are, I guess, non-represented, you know, management or higher management. And those of us who have been involved in trying to employ people, and especially when you're seeking higher level people, it can take a little time. It's probably not something you can do right. And sometimes also these people, because they're in higher level positions, may have obligations even when they agree and are coming over to work for you. They may have some obligations given their skill level and their so forth to the prior employer before they leave, and so cannot immediately come over. And that cumulative time between the search, the identification, the person agrees, they've signed on, they're going to start, may turn out to be so they may complete the whole process in which someone has been offered, they have agreed to the job, they're coming on board, but the date they're actually starting so turns out to be a little beyond the 960 hours. And I guess in one sense, you could, you know, have one person and then swap them out for another person, but that also means more, you know, handoffs, transition, et cetera. I just thought, in terms of those circumstances, do you think there might be a way to work it out so that in that sense, the employer's done their duty in trying to hire and identify, and so we know that the interim person is not sort of stuck there being taken advantage of beyond that there was a good faith effort that's culminating in a new hire that in a permanent position, that situation that the employer doesn't get penalized because they've actually done their due due diligence and their job. So just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. Definitely, we'll look at addressing that issue as we move along. Hopefully, figure it out. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I just want to throw that something to think about. So I just want to be sure that the departments that are actually doing what they're supposed to do, that they're not penalized for doing what they think is the right thing. You know, doing their job as well. So,
thank
okay.
You.
No. With that, seeing no other question, there's a motion to move the bill. Okay. Secretary, can you please call the roll?
Closing comments.
Oh, yes. Do you wish to close?
Thank you.
Respectfully ask for your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rodriguez. Okay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Morrell?
No.
Morrell, no. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Morlock?
No.
Morlock, no. Portantino?
Aye.
Portantino, aye.
Okay, that bill is out, 3-0, and that will be referred to appropriations.
Thank you.
3-2. Oh, sorry. I thank you for the question. The bill is out 3-2 and referred to appropriations. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. I know you are. So. No, it's 3-2. Yes, I corrected that. Yes. Senator Morlock caught that as well. Okay. Actually, before we move on to our next item, I do wish to announce that item number 1, AB 283, is being held for so it's not going to be heard at this hearing today. Okay. So the next up is Assemblymember Arambula. I see you here. Okay. And sign an order, and that's item number 4, AB 1243. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. AB 1243 is a technical bill that addresses an issue that the Fresno County Office of Education brought to my attention. This measure deals with a fairly rare instance that occurs when a CalPERS member who was formerly employed by a school district has an annual retirement benefit that exceeds the cap set by the Internal Revenue Service. The IRS establishes a maximum annual retirement benefit every year. But for public employees hired prior to 2013, state and federal law allowed public agencies to exceed that amount and pay an additional retirement benefit through what is now called the CalPERS Retirement Benefit Plan. In most cases, the financially responsible agency for the CalPERS Replacement Benefit Plan is a city, a county, a special district, or the state. But in the case of a school district, the fiscal agent is the County Office of Education, even if the retiree never worked a single day for the county office. Generally, this is not a problem. But in the rare occurrence when a school district refuses to pay the legally obligated retirement benefit to the retiree, the County Office of Ed is on the hook. When a school district refuses to pay the retiree under the retirement benefit plan, the County Office of Ed does not have the statutory authority to recover those funds from the school district. This bill would authorize a County Office of Education to collect the contributions from the school district that actually employed the retiree. In Fresno County, a school district was recalcitrant in paying the amounts owed for a former employee. Efforts by the county office and by CalPERS were not successful in obtaining payment. As a result, the retired member that never worked for the county office was forced to file a lawsuit against the county office to obtain the legally obligated benefits. The county office has had to employ legal counsel to ensure that its interests were protected. This bill would authorize the County Office of Education to collect and transmit school district contributions to CalPERS as those contributions come due, thus ensuring that a retired employee will receive the retirement benefits he or she earned during their career in public service. I request your aye vote.
Hey, thank you. Witness and support.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Derek Lennox on behalf of the Fresno County Superintendent of Schools. We're very pleased to sponsor the bill, and we thank Dr. Arambula for bringing it forward. Even though the unique situation faced by the Fresno County Office of Education is one that, heretofore we hadn't known much about, we think that this could be a situation that arises in any of the other 58 counties across the state as members who are eligible for the replacement benefit plan continue to progress through the system and into their retirement. So hopefully this will alleviate a lot of heartache for school districts, county offices of education, and of course, most importantly, the retiree as time moves forward. I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other witnesses in support? Seeing none, any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none, committee member questions? Seeing none, is there a motion on this bill? Okay, the bill has been moved. I'm recommending an aye vote on this bill. The motion will be due pass and referred to Senate Appropriations Committee. Secretary, please call the roll.
Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Morrill.
Aye.
Morrill, aye. Leva.
Aye.
Leva, aye. Morlock.
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Portantino.
Aye.
Portantino, aye.
Okay, that bill is out 5-0. And I understand you are presenting on behalf of Assemblymember Santiago as well.
If that's okay with you.
Yes, so that will be item number 3, AB 1017. Thank you, and welcome, and please begin.
AB 1017 allows a court to award reasonable attorney fees to a prevailing party in court actions involving public sector collective bargaining agreements and arbitration. AB 1017 simply creates parity with respect to collective bargaining agreements and arbitration between private sector employment and public sector employment. Public sector employers and employees should be afforded the same protections in place for private sector employers and employees. With me, I have Adam Acosta.
Okay. Witness and support.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Adam Acosta with AFSCME District Council 36 out of Los Angeles. As the author eloquently articulated the legislation, we're simply asking you all to support the bill that allows the court, the judicial officer, to award attorney fees to the prevailing party that is exists also in the private sector. So we're simply asking that this legislation allow the court to decide whether or not they want to award attorney fees to the employer organization if it prevails in court.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Senators. Joshua Golko with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also in support. Also here on behalf of Karen Kiesler, she wished me to add her support for the Los Angeles County Professional Peace Officers Association, Organization of SMUD Employees, San Diego County Court Employees Association, San Luis Obispo County Employees Association, and United Public Employees.
Thank you. Other witnesses in support.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Christy Baum on behalf of the California Professional Firefighters in support.
Michael Young with the California Labor Federation also here in support.
Ryan Sherman with the Riverside Sheriff's Association in support.
Thank you. All right. Any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none. Questions from committee members? Seeing none. The bill has been moved. The motion will be do pass and refer to Senate Judiciary Committee. Recommending aye vote. Secretary, please call the roll.
Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Morrell. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Morlock. Morlock, aye. Portantino. Portantino, aye.
Thank you. That bill is out 4-0. Thank you. Okay, so next we have Assemblymember Cooley. It's good to see you here. All right, so that is item number 5, AB 1309. Welcome.
Mr. Chair and members, it's a pleasure to be here. And Corinne, in my career, I've started mid-stride analyzing bills here in the Senate, so I commend you on your new responsibilities. I'm here today to present AB 1309. This is a bill related to the CalPERS system and compliance, supporting compliance. There are existing rules affecting retired annuitants, rules that apply to govern their ability to return to work, can't do it within 180 days of retirement. There's internal limits on hours and how many days in a year they can work. That whole system depends upon accurate data concerning what the retired annuitant is doing. So this bill requires each CalPERS employer to notify the CalPERS system of changes in the employment status of a CalPERS member. Specifically, it would permit CalPERS to impose a small fee, $200 a month, on an employer that fails to enroll and report their card information to CalPERS, which is essential to maintaining compliance. Obviously, that fee is just to ensure that they actually simply attend to their duties under existing law and provide that report. I have Mary Ann Ashley from CalPERS to testify, if you would, please.
Thank you.
Thank you for being
thank
here.
You.
Mary Ann Ashley with CalPERS. As the Assembly member noted, this measure would provide CalPERS with an extra tool to help ensure that reporters are providing the information that they are currently mandated to report. So we think the measure can help reduce risk to our members as well as risk to the system for potential abuses. And I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Okay, thank you. Witnesses in support? Is someone coming up? Oh, okay. All right, no other witness support? All right, witnesses in opposition? Okay, committee member questions? Hold on, Senator Morlock.
Senator Cooley, I was just curious when I saw what they're trying to do here. In reviewing it, I wondered if we could use a different tactic, and that is you failed to submit the information, so then CalPERS sends a notice saying you're late or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and then a second notice would then, and there would be no penalty on the first notice, but on the second notice, 200, and then maybe on the third notice, 300 to get the information. So I just kind of looked at it a little differently instead of just boom, hitting you right away.
Well, I think employers, if they're undertaking to hire a retired annuitant, they know that. It's processed as they come in the organization. I think this just puts a spotlight on this is a compliance piece. You do need to notify CalPERS. So I think it is efficient in that sense that at the point where that retired annuitant would come to the organization, it waives, this creates a red flag that you need to complete the reporting requirement, and then the system will work in accordance with the law. So I think to, they're hiring the person subject to these rules to create a new duty on CalPERS for some administrative overhead. I can sort of see the point, but I do actually think this is a very simple, direct, it has the right parties to the transaction, processing the hiring, and just taking care of the legal reporting right there. So I think that this is more of a, you know, it will put pressure on reporting, but I actually don't think there'll be a lot of these charges paid, because I think it will just heighten automatic compliance.
Is it a big problem now?
It's not a huge problem, but part of the problem is that we don't always know when an employer isn't reporting until we do an audit, and that's okay. when we find out that they're not reporting. So there were over, from 2007 through 2013, we did 274 audits, and there were 44 findings that involved 70 retirees. So it's not a huge problem, but we don't know how big it really is, because the way we identify it is through audits or else hotline tips.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? Actually, just do you audit everyone, or is it just sample you audit?
Sample audits.
So in other words, what you're finding in your audit is that's a portion of the sample. So depending on the size, your sample size, you can actually project out larger. Right. So the actual number problem may be much, much larger, and they're just not identified until late.
Correct.
So, okay. And I think certainly the challenge is that CalPERS doesn't know when someone hires a retired new one. It's the employer. So that's why it has to be triggered by the employer. It's not that CalPERS can send a notice and say, oh, by the way, you have someone, because they have no idea.
They're not. And it's targeting CalPERS member agencies. So it's not like somebody who's not familiar with the CalPERS system. So it's really just we're trying to prod a higher degree of compliance on something that should be automatic. They're getting the benefit of someone with experience. That's why typically they would hire someone like this. So it just helped the system work well. And on behalf of the pension system generally, we want all the parties to operate according to the rules.
Okay. All right. Seeing no other questions, there's a motion from Senator Leyva recommending an aye vote. And so with that, the motion will be, this is to refer to appropriations. Secretary, please call the roll.
Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Morrell. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Morlock.
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Portantino.
Aye.
Portantino, aye.
So that bill currently is 4-0. We'll hold the roll for our absent member at the moment.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Finally, we have Assemblymember McCarty. Welcome. So that is, this is item number 2, AB 349. Welcome.
I feel so cozy over here in the Senate.
We are the cozy house.
Yes. Okay. Good afternoon, Senator and members. First, I'd like to accept the amendments as outlined in the committee analysis. Thank you. Essentially, this bill would provide refugees, and specifically refugees designated as a special immigrant visa, with increased access to state civil service. For those of you who don't know, SIVs are a subgroup of refugees who are primarily Afghani and Iraqi who serve the United States military and special operations like the State Department overseas with translation or other highly specialized services during foreign conflicts. Just last year, there were about 4,000 who arrived in California, mainly in the counties of Sacramento, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Many of these families escaped war and persecution and endangered their lives and the lives of their family members to assist the United States military. These SIV individuals encounter barriers many times when they come to our country with education and employment, but they put their lives on the line, and this affords the notion that we should assist them as well. The sacrifices and services haven't gone unnoticed, and this is part of a package we're putting forward to expand education and employment opportunities in the state of California. With me today is Kurt Lewis. He represents one of the local refugee resettlement organizations, also a United States veteran, who will talk about some of the issues related to SIVs and the ties with the veteran community in the United States of America. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Welcome.
Chair, committee members, honored to be here this morning. When I think of the concept of merit, I think of commendable ability and excellence and skill. And as was shared, come at this with a couple of perspectives, both as a combat veteran myself, did a tour of Iraq in 2003, as well as the director of World Relief, the Sacramento office, which is presently the largest refugee resettlement agency in the country and has served hundreds of SIV holders. I know that when I was overseas, we had an Iraqi national who served as an interpreter for my unit, demonstrated amazing skill and excellence and served us in completing our mission. And I've seen that same quality come in amazing numbers here to California to enrich our state, our country as a whole. And I think that in terms of them being recognized, that service being recognized at often at great cost, as I shared recently, not all of them get an opportunity to make it here. And yet, to my knowledge, there's no memorials being established in honor of them. Reminds me a lot of actually when my dad served during the 70s, and we thought of Southeast Asian refugees who served during that time with the U.S. military and government at great cost to themselves. So I think the support of this bill is much needed in commending and recognizing that unique skill and the sacrifice that they've made. So ask for your eye vote on this.
Thank you. Any other witnesses in support? Seeing none. Any witnesses in opposition?
Hi, I'm Mary Cruz with the California Immigrant Policy Center in support.
All right, we have a witness. Any other witnesses in support? Okay. Any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none, questions from committee members? Senator Morlock.
It's my understanding, Mr. Chair, that we're taking an amendment that would make an SIV lower than a veteran. Is that correct?
That is what's in the bill, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so this is unique, and I think it's worthy. I just wonder whether or not we're opening a door for other categories, and I'm just, how do we know that we kind of just don't see, we should see this as a one time and not, you know, all of a sudden a different category coming up in another category?
I didn't get into that during my presentation because I knew that we'd have questions. And I spent a week with you on conference committee. I knew that you have good questions.
I didn't want to disappoint you, Kevin.
Yes. but when I first introduced this bill, we talked about essentially having equality of SIVs and veterans, because many people in the veteran community think of these individuals as United States veterans. They're about to become U.S. citizens. They served overseas with our military, put their lives on the line, and they're, through a special circumstance, coming to our country kind of at par. And so the notion is you do have special programs for veterans, and there are individuals who think that maybe one day we should reclassify this group as a veteran. Our bill doesn't go that far, but we want to recognize that this isn't just a one-off for there's a lot of worthy groups in our state that you could give special consideration to, assuming that they have requisite scores to be competent for the job. But we felt this was a subset that really mirrors our current policy, which has a bit of a bump for individuals who are veterans who served our country.
Okay. I just want to stare them down for a second. Can I do that?
Okay. Senator Leyva.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, Mr. Lewis, thank you very much for your service. We appreciate it. Everyone hopefully knows that freedom isn't free. I really am happy that you brought this bill forward, Assemblymember McCarty, because I look at SIVs as people who put their lives on the line to keep our American citizen soldiers safe in a time of war. So I think that this is a great bill and a way to honor them and make sure we take care of them as they took care of our service members when they were overseas.
Okay. Any, seeing no other comments, entertain a motion. Okay, it's moved by Senator Leyva. I just want to say also is that I appreciate especially your answer to Senator Morlock. I mean, these are people who've risked their lives along with our veterans to help protect our country. And certainly I think that in itself is a fairly unique class in some ways. And so certainly I think worthy of, as they have come over to our country, worthy of recognition in this way. So would you like to close?
Thank you. I just want to note your comments, but also the amendment that your committee suggested. And we've been working hard with the veteran groups across California. You see there's no opposition from veteran organizations. I think there are a couple groups who would like to come on shortly. And we wanted to recognize the SIV individuals without diminishing the service and the experience of our veteran population as well. Ask for your right vote. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the motion is do pass and refer to Senate Judiciary Committee. Secretary, please call the roll.
It's do pass as amended and we refer to Senate.
Yes, the do pass as amended. Let me clear that and refer to Senate Judiciary Committee. Thank
Pan.
You.
Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Morrell.
No.
Morrell, no. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Morlock.
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Portantino.
Aye.
Portantino, aye.
Okay, that bill is out 4-1. Thank you. Okay, so finally, we do have our consent calendar. So that's item number 7, AB 183 by Lackey, Bill of Rights for State Included Employees. Item number 8, AB 590 by Assemblyman Medina, Public Employees Retirement Membership Election. And item number 9, AB 995 by Assemblymember Limon, County Employees Retirement, Retirement Board Appointees Leave Balances. Is there a motion for the consent calendar? That's been moved. Yes, Senator Morlock.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I just had a quick question that can be answered real quickly. But item number 7, AB 183, I'm assuming that's not a meet and confer item. And that's why it's on consent. I've been here before,
yeah.
And I want the fix. I just want to make sure I don't have it get disrupted. So you're fine with this bill as it is. So that's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
So no Myers, Milius, Brown.
No,
concerns. Okay. That's all I want.
They're not
to know.
Okay. So
they're not representative.
Okay, so just to be clear, because we're in a public hearing, I know some like that. So can you just make a statement about
sure.
that question?
You bet. So the employees that would be covered under this provision are not rank and file. They're not represented by employee organizations. They do have an opportunity to present their concerns to management, but management has no obligation to accept any of those concerns.
So just want to be clear, no one wants to pull anything off the consent calendar.
No.
Okay, so then we will move the three items as has been moved. Secretary, please call the roll.
Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Morrell.
Aye.
Morrell, aye. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Morlock.
Aye.
Morlock, aye. Portantino.
Aye.
Portantino, aye.
Okay, the consent calendar is passed 5-0. With that, okay, and then we still have one item on call.
It's item number 5, AB 1309, by Senator Cooley. Secretary, please call the roll of absent members.
The motion is due pass and we refer to Appropriations Committee. The current vote is 4-0. Morrell?
Aye.
Morrell, aye.
Okay, so that bill is out 5-0. With that, the agenda is completed, and this hearing on the Committee on Public Employment and Retirement is adjourned. Thank you.